I got the job. He said, what can I do for you? You know, I said, you ain't do nothing for me. I just really, you may as well get the money and keep it in town and send it down to Nashville. So, but I said, there is something you can do for me. I said, I wrote a little silly West Virginia song, and you can put some music behind it, and, you know. He said, well, what you want behind it? I said, a mandolin would sound good. Mandolin and maybe a guitar with it. He said, man, do both, one or both if you want. And I said, well, we'll use your discretion. So I laid down the sound bite of the song, and then he did put the music in under it, and that's the way it was.
Nice.
And I put it on, they used to have on Facebook or on the YouTube, not the YouTube, but Facebook, they have contests of different songs, and it went like number one real quick, you know. So a buddy of mine liked it, so he put it on YouTube, and that's where you can get it. I think you'll like it.
It's nice.
Silly. But the words are real good. I mean, you know, it depicts West Virginia.
Got it.
Yeah. Well, why don't you introduce yourself and tell me your name, where you're from, and when you were born.
All right. My name is Shirley Love, and I was born May 15th, 1933. In Oak Hill, West Virginia. I went to Collins High School in Oak Hill. From there, when I was very young, I was fortunate enough to audition for a radio announcing job at WOAY, which then it was WOAY-FM, well, they were AM and FM, but at that time, FM wasn't very predominant. In other words, it was sort of a stepchild to radio, music, and broadcasting. No one had FM radios, very few, but it caught on real fast. And working at WOAY Radio, I graduated up to the AM part of the station, which I became one of the newsmen and emceed different shows, bebop shows, like one called Jukebox Review, which a lot of kids this day wouldn't even know what a jukebox was. But anyway, it's a very popular show. It was a request show where kids called in and wanted to play a song for Johnny or Mary or whatever. And very popular and had a good time.
What kind of music was that?
Huh?
Kind of music?
Okay, that was the from the Elvis area to, well, we played, it was a variety. We played the top 21 from what we called Billboard, and from Billboard we played the top 21. On Friday we played the top 10 with emphasis and interviews and different things that I would collect and keep for the week. But then I graduated over to WOAY Television, which was adjacent to the studio of WOAY. You had three sections. You had the radio studio, you had the television studio, then you had what we call the TV Lanes Auditorium, which held, they had about 1,000 seats. 1,001 seat to be exact. And in there, I did a TV show called Jukebox, or West Virginia Bandstand. It was a spinoff of Dick Clark's Bandstand. And the various kids from the schools would come out and they'd dance in the evenings to usually the same songs I played on the Jukebox Review, the top 21 from Billboard. And I would interview them and pick a couple to lead off the song, and it was real popular and something for the kids to do and not smoke pot to be among their peers. And from there, I I did various variety shows for WOAY, or emceed various variety shows. Like on Friday night, we had what we called a Friday night barn dance, and that gave the talent in the area, and I'm talking about the Tri-County area, which our coverage then was enormous for a TV station. It was non-directional. We had 100,000 watts, and you could pick us up in parts of Virginia, Kentucky, and all over southern West Virginia. All you had to do was stick out a coat hanger, and you could pick up Channel 4. So really, they watched us, whether they wanted to or not, because it was then it was the not the only station they could get, but it was the only station in this geographical area of southern West Virginia. The only other station was Channel 3 in Huntington, which broadcast into Ohio and Kentucky and then West Virginia. Mm-hmm. So we were really the predominant TV station and the pioneer of television in this area, to be truthful with you. And because when I first went on television, I'd say, hey, you see me on television? They said, no, we have a TV set. But then you know, they started manufacturing the TV sets, and the local merchants started selling them. And then the antennas went up, and television became very, very popular. And I started in 1954. It was the only job I ever had, other than when I was in high school, I ran a dry cleaning route, which that was popular too.
Why don't you tell me about Friday Night Barn Dance and the bands that you would bring in? When you're talking about the three county area, is that Fayette, Raleigh, and what would be the third one?
Well, the Tri-County area, actually, on the Nielsen and Arbitron ratings, we were number one in Nicholas County, Greenbrier County, Summers County, Raleigh County, okay. Wyoming County, Fayette County, and we had high ratings. All over, because, like I say, they, it was the only station they could get other than if they had a sophisticated television or antenna with a rotary on it, then they could get like Channel 3 in Huntington. And then later came on Channel 8 in Charleston, Channel 6 in Bluefield. But we had the edge on them because, and the tower, which you can look out and see from here, they had the 100,000 watts, which was very unusual for a television station to have that many watts. And Mr. Thomas, R.R. Thomas, senior at the time, he applied for it through the FCC, and fortunately he got it, which most other people with television stations didn't. And this was the only one-man-owned television station in the United States. He owned it, he ran it. He was the boss. He did what he did, or whatever. And that brings me to a point when, I did a program called Live Saturday Night Wrestling. Mm-hmm. Now, this was in the what we called...
Before we get back to that, could you tell me more about the Friday Night Barn Dance?
Okay, yeah. The Friday Night Barn Dance was... it was a program to where we would have a main band, a house band, so to speak. And they would be the feature band, and then different talent. Homer Jones, who played a fine fiddle, he would be a guest, and so he would do a song. You'd have a quartet from Quinn Wood or Rainell, and they would do they'd do a song. A solo from Johnny Jones from Mount Hope, and he would be there. They'd have a different variety. And they would come in and give us their names and what they did. And sometimes they would audition. One of us or the other at the station would audition them. And you could tell right away whether they're good or not. So you'd say yes and put them down. And I emceed that. On Saturday afternoon, we had 2 hours. It was called the Saturday Jamboree, which we gave 15 minutes to each group. And they could do whatever they wanted to with it. And that was on for 2 hours. And it was very popular, too, because... And you'd be amazed the talent that Southern West Virginia had, or you had in that field of bluegrass and country and western, because this is bluegrass country, really. Yeah. So television, it went on.
And do you remember any of the band names? Do you remember any of the band and musician names?
Yeah, there was Red Lilac and, what was her name? It's a lady, and her husband was named Red Lilac. Well, the Parkers, let me think of her name. Gee, it's been so long. It was the Parker family. I'll think of her name in a minute. Mm-hmm. Then we had a group called Eddie Sechrist and the Rollin' Rockets. Now they were sort of ahead of their time. He did the Gyration like Elvis did, and they played in the various joints around the area, but they were very good. And I know they came out with a song called "Shaken with a Flavor." It was sort of an Elvis type thing. And this Eddie Sechrist, I mean, he could, you know, he with that guitar and move those knees. If you didn't know he was Elvis, you'd think he was Elvis. And they had a guitarist who played, he went on to play in Nashville for several of the other stars, and another banjo fiddle player. His name was, I should have wrote this down beforehand. Anyway, he played for various bands in Nashville. There was Russ Hicks from Beckley, you may have heard of him. He played guitar, steel guitar for, I don't know, Johnny Cash and different stars. And Charlie McCoy, I know you've heard of Charlie McCoy. Charlie played the harmonica. And Charlie, he would do features for us when we would do a telethon for, like, the March at Arms or Cancer or what have you. The boss's daughter, one of his daughters, had polio, and he catered to helping the March of Dimes campaign, and different stars would come in and would feature them, like Charlie McCoy. Mm-hmm. And WAY did very, very enormous amount of those things. I mean, they had no charge, and we would do them either in the studio or over at one of the hotels in Beckley. And getting back to the wrestling show, Mr. Thomas, he didn't subscribe to Nielsen or Arbitron, which gives you your ratings. And I was a salesman, and as an example, someone from Ford Motor Company would call me, and they'd want some avails. And I said, well, we don't have avails. And what I mean by avails, that gives you the demographics of ages from 6 to 12, from 12 to 20, from 20 to 60, and on up. And they thought that was crazy, you know. But, if you want it on the air, that's the way it is, because the boss doesn't subscribe. But one of the local newspaper owners, he played golf with Mr. Thomas, and he said to Mr. Thomas, you know, that wrestling show you do is very popular. It's tops all the ratings. And I'll tell you how you can get your ratings is run Shirley for delegate to the national convention. And that was in 1972, mm-hmm. or 1970, I beg your pardon. And at that time, the Democrats could run statewide, and later they changed it to where they had to run within their respective district. But now the Republicans can still run statewide, but the Democrats, the DNC changed it. So I didn't want to run. I mean, you know, I was a kid. But he said, you know, the boss said run. I said, man, I'll get beat. I don't want to get beat. Nobody wants to lose. I said, that's silly. And he said, well, I'd run anyway if I had you. He's the boss. He wants you to run. So I ran, and I won. I got 49,000 votes in the Tri-County area, and I was ninth, and they elected nine. And so I went to Miami as a delegate, and I found out I could win. So then I ran the next successfully, and I've been elected to every Democrat National Convention since 1970. I think it's about 14. Some guy told me I probably could be in that world record, Guinness world record for consecutive wins. And I'll probably run again this summer. I hope to go again. My wife and I, we sort of made a vacation